What's up, everybody? We are back. It's your boy Opti. We got another TTO, and I think you guys are going to thoroughly enjoy today's episode. This one is going to be wide-ranging, but obviously it will always come back to Bitcoin. And without further ado, let me just bring in our special guest, Bill Ottman, CEO, co-founder of Minds. I guess for the people out there that aren't familiar with you, Bill, what do you do? Who are you? Why should people care? I know why I care, but why should people care? Who are you for, you know, the people in the back that aren't familiar with your work yet?
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, my name's Bill. I build technology and write, and I'm very interested in freedom of information, free speech, Bitcoin, decentralized social media. That's what I'm focused on. I started a company called Minds to help with that.
Love it. Absolutely love it. So I guess at first, decentralized social media. How exactly is Minds, you know, what's the back end on Minds? I know you're using Nostr for the people out there that maybe aren't familiar with Minds. What is the difference between, you know, a platform and a protocol here?
Yeah, for sure. We are a platform that integrates with different protocols. So the back end, our back end is kind of a hybrid structure where we have like a Nostr infrastructure. We have like a Web2 infrastructure sitting on like Cassandra and Red and Vitess. And then we also are rolling out ActivityPub very soon, like within the next month. So there's kind of the Federation stuff. And then there's also, you know, the, you know, key signing. So, I mean, signed events is where everything's going, but the it's interesting, but when you compare ActivityPub versus like Nostr, media, rich media actually flows through ActivityPub really nicely, like videos and images. One of the issues with Nostr right now is that we haven't really solved rich media. So, you know, there's trade-offs between all these different protocols, which happy to talk about.
Yeah, by all means. I mean, why choose Nostr? I was actually surprised to find out how long Minds has been around. I didn't realize it's been around for this long. When did you make the jump to Nostr?
Yeah, man, I'm old now. We've been around like more than 10 years. As soon as we see novel projects in this space, we like to play around and see what we can come up with. And Nostr is very simple. You know, it's sovereign keys and signed events and these relays. And the whole architecture was really easy to work with, really easy. You know, it was great working with Fiat Drop. We actually contributed a NIP 26, which is the delegated event signing. Nip, Mark, our CTO, wrote that, and people are using it for some really cool things in Nostr now. And so, you know, we just, because we don't know what the ultimate decentralized protocol is going to be. And it's still even up in the air if like there's going to be one that really wins out, or if there's going to be multiple that coexist. I personally lean towards that there will be multiple that can coexist in different ways. But, you know, we even have some good internal debate on that as a team. Like, you know, who knows? Blue Sky's doing interesting stuff. They haven't open sourced their federation yet, so it's not decentralized yet. The at protocol. So yeah, I mean, I'm curious your thoughts, what you've noticed so far.
Yeah, I mean, I've just used Nostr really, and it is very interesting. Well, first and foremost, we are free market maxis, so we love competition, and we, you know, go by the party line that competition makes everything better for the consumer out there. So we love to see competing platforms, and of course, you know, Fiat Joff is a legend in our space, creating Nostr, absolutely awesome to see. I've really just lately been jumping on Nostr a little more than usual. I have an account, but I use Domus. And like, you know, I'm an iOS maxi, like Apple maxi, you know, they're throwing tomatoes at me.
Don't even say those words together.
I know. But hey, the products work for me. So this is why I'm on Domus. I do get all my friends to give me crap all the time. They're like, dude, get on Android, like get on Graphene. Like, what are you doing? Right. I'm like, dude, it just works. Sorry, bro. It does just work.
But here's what you do. Just buy an Android, buy a Pixel or whatever phone you want to load Graphene on and just have it.
I have one. It's just, I have like a very shitty Samsung. I need to get like a Google Pixel, but I just have like, you know, this is a totally other tangent. We'll get into some of the conversations. It's like, all right, who do I trust more, Apple or Google? Like, I feel like it's like, pick your poison. I don't know. You know,
I feel like it's pretty clear. I mean, you don't, first of all, neither. However, like, you know, it's Google clearly contributes way more to open source than
this
Apple.
Is true.
So
this is
I
true.
Mean, it's like that just is what it is.
Yeah, 100%. Well, let's jump into that last point, because I think there's an interesting thread there. First and foremost, you know, more of a philosophical question. Do you think that the world is trending towards more decentralization? Do you think we've seen peak centralization? Because my biggest concern is just people's apathy. Like, I feel like the average person is just apathetic to all this stuff and they really don't care. Like, I know this is like what we're involved in. This is what we love. And I see the world moving towards a more decentralized future. But I don't know if we've seen peak clown world yet. And have we seen peak centralization, or is this just part of that transition?
I think we maybe have seen peak centralization. I've never been asked that before, and it's weird to think about. I'm not saying there couldn't be some kind of tech that brings everyone in a hyper centralized way and is super devastating. Like, that's happening at the same time that decentralization is happening. So it's kind of both are true, but I would probably bet on the you know, longer term trend to be, you know, decentralization over time.
Yeah, I mean, I see the same thing, but I always feel like I need to check my bias. And obviously, as a Bitcoiner, we endorse open source protocols, open source software. And, you know, I look out into the world and the average person just doesn't really care. They're just like, whatever. Like I said, you know, I'm trolling myself by saying I use Apple products, knowing that we are an open source angled audience market. But it really just makes me wonder whether the average person even cares. Like, I always think of the WhatsApp model, like, you know, give people encryption without them even thinking about it. And so I'm hoping that is the trend that software goes towards. And again, on that topic, it's like, do you think that open sourcing all software is feasible? Like, do you think the average person can care, or is it just about giving them that product so they don't even have to think about the back end?
Oh yeah. I mean, ultimately we need to make it so that no one has to think about it and it's just happening by default. But for developers, you know, 100% more people should open source, and they're like unnecessarily paranoid about releasing their code. Actually, you know, there's a bunch of Bitcoin products that I've like reached out, and there's a lot of proprietary Bitcoin projects, which is kind of frustrating to me. Even like Coinbase. I mean, like Coinbase, Strike, a lot of like really cool tech, but like, why aren't you open? What are you afraid of? It's actually flattering, and you can do different types of protective open source licenses when people help build on what you do. So I think that I remember before we open sourced our whole backend, and like that moment of fear, and then you just do it. And it's, to be honest, 99% of companies are being wet, you know, they're overestimating how much people care about their code. You should be flattered if people want to fork you and build on you. And that's going to help the product long term. I mean, just look at Bitcoin itself. That's why it's working. So, yeah, I think the open source pilling has to get supercharged. I think more people, I'd like to see more people talking about that.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. I mean, most people I think are, you know, as much as they claim they're free market maxis, they get scared of competition. And that's like you said, you know, you get terrified, and it might be more of like a hyper-focus where we're all so selfish and self-interested that we're like, my code's so awesome, someone's going to steal it. And most people, when you release stuff, they're like, yeah, cool, bro. Don't even care.
Exactly.
But I mean, on this trend, like how come you are so obsessed with decentralized information, decentralized social media? Like, why is this your life choosing?
I mean, I want to make sure to not polarize the situation wherein it's like this whole idea that centralization equals evil, decentralization equals good is not quite reality. I mean, I think as a general philosophy, it's like, yes, lean towards decentralization, but like servers are fun and useful, you know, centralized servers, and there's cool things you can do on them. There's in fact more that you can do on them than in decentralized peer-to-peer systems, which does, it doesn't make centralized better. It definitely doesn't. But the bigger issue with Google and Apple's centralization is the whole framework that it exists in, with this, you know, hyper secrecy, surveillance, censorship complex, you know, within these companies. It's more of like, it's largely a policy problem with the companies. It's okay to have centralized tech, like, but do it in a transparent way and also in a way that's like respecting your customers. So, yeah, I just feel like sometimes things get too kind of diluted with this whole kind of centralization versus decentralization thing.
No, yeah, I love that framing as well, because, you know, like a lot of people will lean in, especially in the Bitcoin space, that like, oh, just because it's FOSS, it's better. And it might be, you know, a less superior product, but like there is a spectrum to decentralization and centralization that may or may not be good. And mine's, if I'm not mistaken, is kind of like a hybrid, right? It's using Nostr as the decentralized protocol. But of course, you guys are a company and there is some centralization there. Like, you guys control the platform.
For sure. And we just want to give people that portability and, you know, kind of ownership of the social graph content and identity. And, you know, this problem is not solved even in Nostr yet. Like, you know, just the idea that your key, your private key is your identity. Like, there's not a good solution for like lost keys in Nostr right now. And like, that's kind of why, that's what some people are using the delegation system that we brought in. But it's still not like, I think, you know, and a lot of Nostr people for good reason get frustrated with the whole DID world with decentralized identity and kind of the web standards, because the bureaucracy is just painful. And like, the beauty of Nostr is that people are just doing it and, you know, not worrying about that. And the code is kind of just speaking for itself, which, to be honest, just is refreshing and feels good. But at the same time, like, when you talk about, okay, well, what is a sovereign identity system going to be that could interoperate between all of these protocols? Like, could, you know, that, because that's ultimately kind of what we need, so that you can participate in all these protocols. Because it's like, there's a whole community and network over in ActivityPub, you know, Fediverse world. There's one in Nostr, and there's others. So it'll be interesting to see like where that ends up. To be honest, it's very undefined right now.
Yeah, it's still, I mean, I know the internet's been around for a while, but with these new protocols like Nostr and even like Bitcoin in general, it feels like it's the wild, wild west of computing right now. And we're still kind of like, everyone's still figuring out how to move forward. What's the best way to do this stuff? And, you know, the tinkers like yourself and others are creating the products that we, like me, you know, Luddites can use. So, you know, first and foremost, kudos to you. But I want to jump on a topic that you touched on, and it's, you mentioned it in regards to Google about how they, for lack of better terms, disrespect the customers out there. And, you know, we are on YouTube and we get a lot of crap because we are slaves to the algorithms. And as much as we say the crazy thing, there is a certain amount of, I wouldn't say self-censoring, but just being mindful of the things you say, because we don't want to nuke our channel. And I know that you understand how dangerous this is and where this is going and what it's done to society. So what's your thoughts on self-centering and, you know, maybe the dangers of the algorithms?
I mean, as long as you have a outlet where you actually can say what you really think and publish that somewhere else, you know, then speaking to your audience, whether it's YouTube or Facebook or whoever, like, that's, I don't see any issue with that. It's like, you're using the tools that you have to get the word out, but don't rely on it. And I think what a lot of people do is they don't supplement what they're doing with sort of a free speech network where they actually can blast like the real version. But yeah, I mean, ultimately I think people should be doing both, because otherwise you are like self-censoring and you're not doing yourself the favor of creating, you know, the content that is sort of the real version, the unfiltered version.
Interesting. So say the crazy stuff on Nostr and keep the PC stuff or PG stuff on YouTube. Got it.
You know, it doesn't mean that it's crazy. It's just a matter of like speaking naturally. Like, it's just annoying when you have to sell sensor for just certain words, which you may be using in some way that's not even how the policy can't. Their AI is, their speech recognition is not sophisticated enough to detect like sarcasm and, you know, where you're coming from. So people are just getting flagged for no reason. And like the quality of the conversation is diluted when people can't just like drop an F-bomb if they want to, or any other word. It's not just, it's not that, it's just, it's a weird thing in the room that is not ideal.
Yeah. We've definitely experienced that on Simply Bitcoin here on YouTube, because it is our bread and butter, and we don't want to nuke our channel, but we also understand like we need to find ways. We are on Rumble and stuff as well, but like we need to find ways to be able to host our podcast, host our message without the fear of actually getting deplatformed. And I think we're still trying to figure it out. And you know, even like Minds and Blue Sky or the other Nostr implementations and the likes is like people trying to figure out a way to be able to communicate freely, because I say it all the time, like we're in an information war right now. And the control of information is how, you know, whatever nomenclature you want, I like to call them the parasite class, but that might be a little harsh, you know, the elites control information. So I did see a few tweets from Minds that I thought are very interesting. And one of them was just how mainstream media is failing at its job of journalism. So do you want to touch on this? Do you think this can be solved by platforms like Minds or decentralized social media platforms, or is this just bad incentives by corporate press?
Yeah, I mean, social media itself has enabled independent creators to explode, and that's who people listen to now as opposed to mainstream media. So it's not that there's no value or in mainstream media. I think that you can find it if you look hard, but also just understanding like how they're trying to, you know, just watching it for the purpose of understanding how they're manipulating people, because it's so obvious most of the time. And you're also starting to see, like, I don't know if you've heard of this News Nation network that's popping up, and like Cuomo is hosting on it. Ross Coulthart did this whole UFO whistleblower piece with it. They're going heavy in the UFO issue, heavy on the truth, kind of balanced nonpartisan angle. And it seems to be really working. I think typically any network, any, you know, podcast or channel that is, you know, looking at things not from kind of that tribal perspective is going to be getting a lot more attention. It's just, it's really old how people are, how these networks think that, I mean, a lot of people are stupid. So they do follow it, but.
Yeah, no, that, it makes me think of, I don't know if you saw, and I keep mentioning this, Balaji on Marty Bent, and he was talking about just like the divide between the left and the right. And I wonder, and I'm going to ask you, do you think that the divide between the left and the right is too big for reconciliation? Or do you think people will kind of come back to these public squares and actually have these conversations so we can get to the bottom of, you know, the truth, which I think most of us are trying to get to the bottom of the truth. It's not so much about like slinging dirt at each other. It's like, hey, why can't we have these conversations without being canceled? Like, what's going on here? What is the truth? We just want to know the truth.
I mean, when it comes to Bitcoin and crypto, I think we're going to see in the politicians in the US, you know, reach some sort of a bipartisan consensus on it. I would hope. I mean, we really need that to happen. And so I think it's a relatively bipartisan issue. And then the other one, which is really interesting. And yeah, so to answer, I do think that hopefully we can shrink the divide and bring people to more of the independent perspective. But like, look at the UFO hearing. I mean, you had AOC and Matt Gaetz and Republican, major Republicans and Democrats that are all totally aligned on getting transparency. So that's really interesting. Like anyone who hasn't watched that hearing, it is it's wild, and it's very like there's no politics in the room, which is just so rare and refreshing.
Amazing. Yeah, I haven't fully delved down the UFO hearing stuff. I just kind of instantly tuned it out. I'm like, okay, always believed in UFOs. And now that the government's telling me, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. This seems like a psyop.
C See, this is, yeah, and it's so interesting that that's happening, and that's a totally understandable reaction that I even have to a degree, but I don't actually think that's what's going on, even though you really should have that as a possibility until we fully have it confirmed. But if you look at the people who organized the hearing, it's like the pilots, like the Commander Fravor and Ryan Graves and Grush, like he's whistleblower. Like he's been getting retribution against him. They just leaked his medical records like yesterday, and that just came out. And it's like, so it would have to be some higher level intelligence bureaucrat who was kind of behind the hearing for me to feel like that's what was going on. But they're actually fighting. You have Grush, Fravor and Graves sort of questioning Arrow, which is the official Pentagon UAP UFO unit, and you have them like they're sort of fighting with each other because they're sort of both saying different things. Arrow saying that there's no evidence of this phenomena, and then Grush is saying, well, I just interviewed 40 people, you know, gave all the data, names of people and corporations to the Inspector General. The Inspector General has it on his desk. And so it, dude, I'm obviously, I get excited about this kind of stuff. I don't tune it out.
No, I love it. It's one of like my underlying theses right now. It's like we, especially as Bitcoiners, we understand the importance of freedom of speech, the freedom of information. And as I said, it's very interesting that we find ourselves in like this information warfare right now. One of my buddies, Joe Rogers, he always calls it the memetic warfare that we find ourselves in. And I figured out like one of the main mechanisms and the main tools that is used is just like bombard the individual with so much noise that they don't know what up from down is. They don't know what the signal is. And so personally, like I think one of my defense mechanisms when I just get bombarded with information is just like, I'm going to tune out and focus on what I know to be not only like truthful, but like what can benefit my life right now. So on that note, do you also consider or believe in the idea that we are in an information war right now?
Oh, for sure. Oh yeah. We're living in a layered system. I've talked about it as like an information caste system, and it relates whatever, any classified information. There's people with need to know, people with clearances, and you know, there's also corporations that have their, kind of information access. And yeah, so there's a war going on in both the, you know, governmental and corporate world with intelligence. And, you know, one funny thing to think about in relation to Bitcoin and the whole UFO thing is just the idea of like energy propulsion and energy systems. And if the implications for Bitcoin, if energy becomes like near limitless, like super cheap energy from, you know, if these craft exist in some, you know, hilarious scenario, the energy argument for Bitcoin completely goes out the window. And not that it's even a problem. I don't even think it's, you know, a big enough issue as it is, but like that would completely change that conversation, which is pretty cool to think about.
Interesting. So do you think there will be a post-money future? Is that kind of where you're going down, or just like a non-scarcity of energy type future?
Right. Yeah. Non-scarcity of energy type future. There's, yes, we're still with money.
So like Dyson spheres, like, you know, getting the sun's energy directly.
I mean, that'd be nice. It seems possible. Like within, you know, the next couple of decades, like I honestly think it's not out of the question.
Well, it's the Star Trek future that was stolen from us from the fiat system. Now we can build on it with Bitcoin. Absolutely love it. Okay. Kind of on the same vein, but we will kind of pivot a little bit. What's your ideas on X or Twitter? Do you think Elon, or rather the Twitter platform, actually believes in freedom of speech, or is this lip service? Because on the one hand, it seems like he does. On the other hand, we've heard Elon Musk say like he wants to create the WeChat of the West. And personally, I'm just like, mm-hmm. Okay, this is going down the wrong path. So do you think Twitter actually wants freedom of speech, or is this kind of just some good marketing? Or do you even care because you're building minds?
Oh yeah, I mean, I definitely care. Mine uses Twitter, and I what I like about Elon is that he's, I think he mostly posts what he thinks, and he's been pretty vocal about all of this stuff and kind of going back and forth. You know, he's X is without a doubt better than Twitter was before Elon came in, like not even questioned. Like the product is improving, the policies are improving, the monetization is improving, everything about the company is improving. But you know, it's not full free speech, it's not all open source, which is what he said would happen. And I think that there's obviously tension with, you know, the CEO, I'm sure, and the advertising world. And I think that they're walking that line, you know, very deliberately. And I'm sure that Elon is trying to pull it as much towards free speech as possible. Even in the case of like when the What is a Woman documentary got censored by Twitter, Elon was, meanwhile, you know, when they broke out of the deal and refused to feature it, Elon goes and like retweets it and blows it up and creates the Streisand effect against his own company's decisions. So it's like, you know, it's hilarious. I mean, it's great to watch. And so I think it's net positive. It's great to have a big tech company that is sort of moving towards free speech and more training. They open source some stuff, but it's not they didn't actually open source the full algorithm. They open source like a small piece of it, which isn't production. But like the community notes stuff is awesome. Like very supportive of Elon and his companies compared to the other big tech. It's ridiculous, but like we need to hold him accountable and keep pushing him, because it'll be very easy to get comfortable. And, you know, he's also shown hostility towards Noster. He almost threatened to ban Noster and posting to Instagram and other alternative social media sites. So there's this sort of like ruthless capitalist part of him, which is like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, let these other companies latch on to us and like, you know, abuse us or whatever he's justifying that they're doing, even though the point of social media is to share your links to like other stuff. So this whole like punishing of links is super problematic. The links are absolutely punished in the Twitter algorithm. And, you know, that practice itself is just is kind of frustrating.
Yeah, 100%. But do you think that maybe, again, we can kind of connect this and go different routes? Like at first we kind of talked about FOSS and people being afraid of, you know, competitors stealing their code. Or could you kind of angle this in Elon maybe moving the Overton window towards a more freedom of speech platform, like, or maybe even the popular consciousness to a more freedom of speech society? And like, obviously you can't move completely to the other side or else you get everyone mad. So you kind of inch your way towards that direction.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's happening. I think that it's a myth that, I mean, they've come pretty far. It seems like they're just making these weird exceptions for people like Kanye or, you know, Alex Jones, for some like sort of seemingly arbitrary reason. They're not letting those, like they ban those people. And like, there's nothing illegal about what they've done. And, you know, he was saying that the law, you know, First Amendment is where it should be based. And I think it can be based, and they can still have, you know, advertiser control over where their stuff's getting served. And they are inching people more towards this. I would imagine he wants to get it there, but is just feverishly trying to get the company cash flow positive. And so I do sense that he wants true free speech long term.
Yeah, I would definitely love to see that. I'm still holding my breath just because I'm staunchly averse to big tech. And even though I use Apple, but I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on in these boardrooms. But as someone that does work in social media, like, what do you see moving forward? Like, what do you think is the future of social media? Are you hopeful? Are you pessimistic? Do you think we're going to a dystopian authoritarian route? Or do you think that, like, the internet has disintermediated truth and people are trying to conversate about what is actually happening in the world?
I want to add one thing, and it's related to what you just said about X, is that his hostility to decentralized protocols actually is a big problem. And I think that it just shows that people really need to not rely on Twitter only. Like, yes, use Twitter, but like be building your own system that is, you know, on a decentralized protocol, because he wants to capture that value. And he thinks that, you know, I think there are other arguments that decentralized social networks can have even, you know, greater network effects than just keeping everything centralized, but he has his reasons. And so I think that, and there were leaked texts of Dorsey and Elon talking about open source decentralization. And so he's well aware, like he knows that there are these options that exist, and he's sort of actively ignoring them. Meanwhile, oddly, Threads is talking about activity pub integration. Tumblr's talking about activity pub integration. And you know, I hope that people at X can educate him more over time, because we really want him to figure this out and get involved, because you know, it's the same with Bitcoin. Like, I think obviously Elon's companies hold Bitcoin, mine holds a lot of Bitcoin. We're holding strong, and those types of things can have such impact. So it's not totally clear to me how much he realizes he's in, you know, this position to kind of influence where things go in to a significant degree. But like, you know, I think a lot of people care about this. Like we've 10x'd in attention to decentralized social media in the last, you know, year easily. So I think it's going to keep growing orders of magnitude like over the next few years.
Yeah. I'd love to see it. You did the last I heard was you were on Joe Rogan, and you said you had around like what, 5 million people on Mind. Has that grown? Has that 10x'd? Like what is your numbers right around now?
No, it's healthy, slow, healthy growth, not much higher than that. But it's, you know, that's part of the problem of the whole Twitter thing as well, is like, it makes people apathetic. Because he's sort of, I've called it like, it's like the Obama effect. It's like, you get this sort of big figurehead that a lot of people were excited about elected, but then meanwhile, there's kind of all this sketchy stuff going on that people just don't want to deal with, because he's like a funny, charismatic guy, and he's like a good leader. And it just makes people be like, you know, I'll just stay here on Twitter. Elon's paying us now, you know, forget it. He cares about free speech enough. And so it does create this apathy, which I think it's really important people not cave to.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest concerns as well. Like we always do our best to push people towards what we call, you know, freedom technology. And I don't know, a lot of people, even including myself at times, are just like apathetic and give me convenience and just make it work for me. And, you know, you want minimal friction in technology. And sometimes the ideologies just get lost on even all of us. It's like, man, there's so much friction to use this stuff and it's clunky. Like, how do we get to the point where it's as seamless as Twitter?
Maybe we're moving, man. It will be. It is. It's close. I mean, there's so many alternatives that are open source and, you know, quality SaaS products and quality apps now. Like it's, you know, maybe not still quite there, but like very close, and some are there. So, you know, I think that open source, even in enterprise, is completely exploding. So it's just better developer, because the developers like it more. You need developers to want to contribute to your product in order for you to have the best product in the world. I think that it's like a physics thing with devs. They just, you know, only want to work on that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, they will, like, if you pay me a lot of money, I'll work on some proprietary stuff, but you know, it makes you feel dirty.
Love it. And I don't know who's running your Mind's Twitter account, but there's a lot of good tweets that come out of it. And one of them was true freedom tech takes effort. And I feel that you can connect that with Nostr, you can connect that with Bitcoin. And at a certain point, it's just like a mental leap that you need to do. It's like a lot of the friction is mental and not so much the actual protocols or the apps. It's just like you got to wrap your head around the idea of what it is. It's like email used to be hard. Now it's like everyone and their mother has email.
Totally. It's more of a routine thing, to be honest. Like using the app, like, yeah, okay, they're not maybe there's another 10% to go to get to kind of parity. Maybe, you know, some apps have further go than others. But it's a routine thing. I mean, it's just like training yourself when you're, you know, setting up your home screen of your phone so that it like has the apps. Like some people are just like want to support this, but they're so late or just not thinking about it. Or it's really, it's laziness. Still using like Safari. Like, do you use Safari on your iPhone?
No. Okay, I use DuckDuckGo. What's your browser of choice?
Brave or Chromium. Yeah. But also, you know, Firefox is just annoying. I used to like Firefox more, and but yeah, mostly Brave is good. I think they're doing things
coherently. So, I mean, it really is that like friction. Just how do we minimize this friction? Yes, there's still some work to be done, but I think, again, what we say all the time, the freedom entrepreneurs, the freedom tech is being built as we speak. And maybe it's kind of about lowering your time preference and not getting too impatient about what's going on in the world. But we got a little, all right, jump in. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, have you ever heard of Awesome And?
Awesome And, no.
It's like an open source maps.
Okay.
App. You know, because Maps is like a very important app to not use a surveillance
app. Like Google Maps, right?
Figure we're talking about. I mean, think it's like literally it's true where you are all the time. Like, and we're just like, oh, you know, Google, Apple. But it's OSMAND, Ozamand, I think it's called, kind of a weird name, but like it works. But the funny thing is you have to download certain maps to like upload to the app. So there's like that tiny little bit of friction, but it's totally easy and doable if you're going on a long, you know, people should check it out. It's like, it's all those little things that are, you know, it's just going to take time, but I honestly do think it's going to get there.
Well, it really makes me think, and maybe as a question, here's like the cynic in me. I try to stay as optimistic as possible, but is all this friction, maybe like we're kind of touching on it, that maybe it's just because it's early tech, but does all this friction lead us to more apathetic consumers and basically get us to like this dystopian slavery future that we're so afraid of actually happening?
Yeah. I mean, we have to stop the friction.
Yeah.
Like it has to happen. So, you know, but there's less friction now than there was. So like, just gotta, that's always how it's going to be. Like the establishment, you know, institutions are, you know, they have the head start, and that's just what it is. So it's going to take time, but the progress has been insane. So it's hard to think about it like that, especially in a time like now where it's very, very, you know, unknown, but like, you know, it's exciting what's going on with the ETF applications, the Bitcoin ETF applications. It seems like, and with, like, what do you make of the Larry Fink statements?
Well, of course, I start off from the cynical route. It's like I would never endorse a BlackRock Bitcoin ETF because personally, I do not like right. paper Bitcoin. But I do find it interesting just how quickly the narrative has shifted once Larry Fink endorsed Bitcoin. First, I was always joking like, oh, Bitcoin's ESG friendly now. Larry Fink endorses Bitcoin. Like, let's go. It's eco-friendly. It's got Larry Fink's approval. But of course, on the flip side, it's going to obviously bring a lot of money into Bitcoin. I think now the reputational damage of embracing Bitcoin as an asset manager, like that's completely wiped out the window. It's like, hey, Larry Fink, the biggest asset manager in the world, is endorsing Bitcoin. Like, you're okay. It's okay, little lemming. You can also embrace Bitcoin because Larry Fink does. So the interesting part to me is just like how quick corporate press has switched in regards to their favor for Bitcoin. And of course, it's going to open up the floodgates into Bitcoin. But as a Bitcoin, I'm like, guys, just buy spot Bitcoin, take it into self-custody. Like, you want to be holding the real thing and not this paper Bitcoin. But I do understand that there is a lot of capital in traditional markets that can get exposure to Bitcoin, and this is the only way they can do it. So it's like, it's kind of one of these, I don't really like to say net positive, but it's like, it's good for Bitcoin. This was inevitable, and anyone awake had to have realized that this was going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. I completely agree with that. I think that, I mean, the whole last you know, year or two have hopefully taught a lot of people about how important self-custody is. You can really get screwed up in these, you know, complex financial products. So
yeah, keep it simple, stupid. Yeah. Come on. All right. Well, we brought up Bitcoin, but before we get to Bitcoin, because I do want to ask what Bitcoin's role in this, but before I get there, like, where do you think we currently are in society as a whole? Like, what's your views on where we are in this current moment in time? Like, I like to call it clown world. I always say it constantly on the show, like, we're at peak clown world, and then every other week it's like, actually, we just peaked again. Like,
oh, we did, you know, we're at peak.
Yeah, exactly.
It's continually peak. Okay. Until it's peaking on a daily basis, until we get some sort of big, you know, freedom of information breakthrough, because we're just living in this synthetic kind of society that is just clearly manufactured based on, you know, very little information relative to the full scope. I mean, the governments globally are, you know, more classified information than unclassified information is being produced every day. So and I'm not trying to relate UFOs to everything, but I do think it's very symbolic that, I mean, we have multiple witnesses under oath. Like, people can't understate how important it is that they did that under oath and what that means, and what it means that their whole sworn, you know, submission to the IG, including all the names, you know, all of that's under oath. If these guys are lying, they're going to jail, like, for a long time. So the chances of them lying are incredibly low. So where does that lead you? Okay, so maybe they were fed fake information, but like, in which case there's still a massive scandal, and there's been all of this disinformation flowing through the government, and they're trying to psyop each other, and that would be just as big of a scandal. So it's like, either scenario at this point are totally next level insane. And, you know, we're going to figure it out. Like, there's requests in, like, you have members of Congress that are like ferocious about figuring this out. And I think that has huge implications. I mean, even you see like AOC pressing about like, who are these corporations? Like, cause she's uncovered a lot of, you know, military contract abuse. And so, like, she's really interested in it from that angle. And like, it's being alleged that like tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars are being like pushed into these special access programs that have no oversight, and that they're using a process called, it's like this research and development line item on military contractor budgets, which gives them discretion to basically siphon funds into other places. And so Grutch in the testimony said that, you know, you have to look at the R&D of all of these contracts, because in there lies a lot of, you know, answers to where this money is going and how a lot of this is occurring. And so, you know, it's just fully related, because regardless of if you're talking about, you know, UFOs or you know, other black budget programs, you know, that is essential to understand. It's the health of the dollar. It's the health of our economy. It's the health of our government. Like, this, it's like a serious deep cleaning that is going on right now. And I would urge people not like to, you know, just pay attention to it, regardless of what you think. And like, what's interesting, I hosted a debate the other day with Destiny, Michael Shermer, James Fox, and Daniel Pinchback. And we were talking about the hearings. And so Shermer is like a skeptic, you know, very like skeptical of UFOs, and, you know, thinks a lot of it can be explained, but he's still like, absolutely disclose it. Like, now it's on the government to prove that Grush is lying. And so you have skeptics and like UFO people who agree we want transparency. So transparency is like a totally cross spectrum issue. And I, you know, Bitcoin people understand that by nature. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of the function of our government and economy is related to this. And it's, yeah, man, it's crazy. So,
yeah, peak clown world. But do you think with the amount of information, because I've been saying for a while that I'm thoroughly convinced that for, again, whatever term you want to use, like the powers that be, the elites, we like to call them the parasite class. Well, rather, I like to call them the parasite class. Do you think that they have lost control on information because of social media? Or do you think that the corporate press still has some semblance of control on what is truth at the moment?
I think that they've definitely lost control, but not completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's out. The people know, not, you know, they understand the corruption in the corporate press, and, you know, but even in more specific senses, like, information is leaking. Like, there's like leaks of scandals, whether it's at corporations or governments, that's happening. And then you're getting more whistleblowers. You're getting just people building open distributed systems, which are just like transparent by default, which, you know, has trade-offs as well. But, you know, obviously you can use Bitcoin in a privacy protecting way. Satoshi could
prove
that. Yeah.
So would you say that it's safe to say that we are snapping back to like base reality at this moment?
Sorry, you cut out a little bit. Snapping back to what?
Base reality. Like, we're coming back to reality versus, like, I always use the metaphor of like the moment where we are right now is like a roadrunner and the coyote, and it's the coyote running off the cliff, and we're like just looking down at our feet before we completely fall off the cliff. And like, that feels like the moment that we are in time. And like, are we snapping back down to reality and truth and, you know, maybe a better understanding of where we are in this moment in time? Or is it just going to get crazier?
I think, base reality, consensus reality, I think like consensus reality, I think, is shifting, where, and that's what's bizarre about the world right now, is like, there isn't consensus reality. Like, there's all these different cults that have different ideas of what reality is. And so, yeah, I like to think that we are sort of like staring at base reality and like, we need to fall back down to base reality. But it's bizarre where you kind of have all of these different ideologies and like people are literally living in completely separate realities. So it's pretty scary. So that's why we just need the transparency, so people are on more of the same page.
Yeah, I'd agree 100%. Okay, well, at the, you know, the concern of time, we're only going to keep you here for an hour, and thank you very much for so much. But the very end of this, well, let's come back to Bitcoin. What is Bitcoin's role in all this, in your opinion?
I mean, Bitcoin is the best money that exists, that I've ever come across, and that I think a growing movement of people realize as well. So that's where things are going. I mean, it's just, it's a system that exists in parallel to the traditional economy, and it's living and breathing on its own, you know, every day, all day, and never stops. Like, that is so powerful. And so having these sort of unstoppable global infrastructure systems like that are just living and breathing on their own, like, that protects the world. You know, you can't, like, the bank can't just go down. Like, the bank is always up. And so, yeah, we need that. So I think it's a huge part of it. And, you know, we've been looking into understanding how we can get Lightning more involved. But again, we've kind of run into some of these custodial centralization issues, like, as we've been pursuing Lightning integrations. And so it's hard. And I think that all, you know, everyone working on Lightning is doing great stuff. But it's, you know, it's not easy to build like the frictionless system that's going to work. So, But yeah, man. I mean, I'm very agnostic with a lot of, you know, these, like there are core pillars of where we're heading. Bitcoin is definitely a part of that. But I think that there's a lot of other players, and Bitcoin can synergize with a lot of other distributed systems. You're seeing that happen with Nostr. And I think, you know, the neutrality that the community and Nostr has, I think is nice. I am not a Bitcoin maxi. I definitely see value in other blockchains, other distributed systems, but like there's a lot of nonsense there, absolutely. But you know, there's nonsense in every community and every project. You know, there's going to be people who do sketchy stuff, and I think that I just hope to see less tribalism in Bitcoin, and because I think, you know, it's just unnecessary. There's so much that we can be working on together that doesn't involve like bickering about, you know, various crypto stuff. So I hope that reduces. Do you think that's going to reduce at all? Or do you think that it's going to,
I don't think more? So. Like we're definitely Bitcoin maxis.
I know
our
I know.
Audience is definitely Bitcoin maxis, but I think at this moment, like the arguing about this stuff, I think is irrelevant. Like I think Bitcoin has very thoroughly proven itself to be the leader in all this, and like arguing totally. About it at this point, I think is just like waste of energy. It's back to the semantics. Idea.
It's semantics, because Bitcoin is the best at money. I would agree with that. And so, you know, does that make me a Bitcoin maxi? Maybe some people would say that actually does make me a maxi. That's why I think a lot of this is lost in translation, because, you know, when you look at like the value of like the Ethereum ecosystem, like there just is value there. Like you can't say that there's no value in the system. I mean, you can, and I'm sure many people do try to say that, but the reality is that there's a massive amount of interesting energy there. And I think it, you know, deserves to be looked at for, you know, different use cases, which are very different from Bitcoin. And maybe people in that community want it to be more like Bitcoin, and you know that's just going to happen. Like more decentralization is better. You know, multiple, like we want to cover our bases. Like, and you know, I don't, maybe this will trigger some people, but like it's not like Bitcoin, it has never, you know, had any issues. Like, you know, it has been exploited before and it was quickly patched, and you know, that can happen in any system. And that's scary to think about. Like, so you do, you know, from like a sustainability resiliency perspective for global infrastructure and global, you know, value exchange, I do think that like, why would you not want multiple? Why would you not want backups to be there? So, because that could happen again. I think it's unlikely. I mean, Bitcoin is one of the most battle-tested, secure infrastructures, you know, the world has ever seen. And it's been audited by some of the smartest people on the planet. So I think it's unlikely, but it could happen. It's happened before.
Yeah, well, as you can see, they're triggered in the chat, bro. but I mean, I think Bitcoin has thoroughly proven itself to be like the leader in this. And again, like I'm a monetary maxi. I kind of boil everything down. I always say I am left side of the right side of the bell curve. So I always boil it down to just some simple memes. And it's like the simple Bitcoin meme of fix the money, fix the world. I think we can both agree on the fundamental problem in the world is the broken money and the broken money incentives. And further, how this propagates all the crazy information arbitrage that we're seeing right now. It's being funded. You know, like, where is all this fiat money going? No one has any clue. But it's very interesting to come back to the same idea that both sides of the aisle can all agree on. Money is the fundamental thing that is driving all the craziness right now. And a better money would bring about better incentives in the world. And I mean, look, you said earlier that Mines is on the Bitcoin standard already, has it on their balance sheet. So it's like we can all agree on the same thing. Like Bitcoin is the best way to store value in a digital world, digital money for the digital world. And you know, I think the arguing at times, of course, I did come out of the tribal Bitcoin maxi, you know, echo chamber. But now I'm starting to realize like, hey, there is some semblance to the idea of like, hey, let's have some conversations here. Let's try to meet some middle ground. Yes, I'm stubborn and I'm going to only use Bitcoin forever. But hey, if you want to use other things.
What if you think about it like a, you know, Top Gun, you got Maverick you know, Bitcoin, and then you've got Iceman. You know, it's like they hate each other, but they love each other, like in a secret way. It's like they're brother. They, you know, they're brothers, but and they may hate to admit it. They may hate each other, but they. I do think that there is some like core love there. Yeah, I would hope, because you know, and honestly, I don't care. I think some of the blood sport is funny, and like I really don't. I don't care. It's fun. It's fun to like compete. And it's fun to have that edginess to and to call out BS wherever you see it, and it exists, so it needs to be called out.
Yeah, I'd definitely agree with that, and it kind of leans back into the information topic of the at the top of the hour about like the world we are living in is just bombarded with so much noise, and none of that noise ever gets any pushback. And if you do get pushback, you get instantly deplatformed, you get instantly censored. And I think that's why we're in the situation that we are right now, is no semblance of conversation here. It's just like, dig your toes in. This is what it is. Follow the party line. Do not trust your eyes and your ears. It's a, you know, back to like 1984. It's like a dystopian quote where it's like, do not trust your eyes or your ears and just follow the party line. And I think there is a healthy amount of debate that can happen. But again, I still think that Bitcoin's winning.
But, it's interesting that there's only been, is RFK the only political candidate to?
No,
to
fully- there's Vivek.
Vivek did. Oh, good.
Yeah, he embraced it. There's also Ron DeSantis. He's in the running. He's also, he's more of like okay. An anti-CBDC type. The Miami mayor, he says he's going to be running for president. He's got no chance. So I think right now we're at like four. We know Trump is anti-Bitcoin. So I think moving forward, though, we will see that Bitcoin becomes a political point of contention. Like people will have to have a stance.
Totally. It needs one way or the other. More. Yeah. It's you know, it could become even like a single issue thing where like, you know, like that is the primary concern of a lot of people, regardless of party line.
Yeah.
I mean, it sort of should be, because it is so fundamental.
Yeah, I mean, hey, as a country built on freedom, you think that they would be embracing freedom money, right?
Do you know if, so what is the actual situation of the government's Bitcoin reserves? Like, because they have stuff that they've confiscated, which then they auction like regularly, but like, is there any evidence of like federal reserves of it?
I don't think so yet. I mean,
even secretly,
well,
shouldn't the CIA be just like stockpiling?
Well, that's the
like,
contention. That's, you know, a lot of the criticism and the FUD lines is people will say like, oh, you know, on the one hand, the CIA or NSA made Bitcoin, or on the other hand, it's like the US government already holds Bitcoin, because they still have a lot of those Silk Roads Bitcoin. They have like 100,000 plus Bitcoin. Or maybe there is some big name people that are, you know, the shell corporation, the front man for the US government holding Bitcoin. So I think at this point there's no official line, which was one of those points that's very interesting when RFK just recently did his announcement about like trying to back the dollar with Bitcoin or put Bitcoin on the balance sheet or whatever semantics he was using. It's really one of those interesting moments in time where it's like, okay, we have presidential candidates talking about Bitcoin, talking about holding Bitcoin on the government balance sheet. It's like, wow, are they following that El Salvador party line where it's like, we're going to embrace Bitcoin, minimize capital gains tax on Bitcoin? And it really just makes you think that the information arbitrage is in overdrive right now. And it's like, how quickly is this information going to get disseminated in popular culture? Or is this just one of those like talking lip service points right now where it's like, it's kind of novel, it's kind of fun. It's like, okay, ha, like I'm embracing Bitcoin. This is why you should vote for me. Give me your Bitcoin. Again, we always say everyone's a scammer. You know, everyone wants your Bitcoin. So maybe this is where we are in the story. And I think probably not this election, but by the 2028 election, every presidential candidate, almost all politicians will have to have a Bitcoin stance, either for or against, and they're not going to have a choice.
I love it. I think Trump needs to get confronted over it more.
I mean, he already came out as like, I mean, he's also an NFT guy. He's
Exactly. There's no consistency.
Yeah, 100%.
It's ridiculous.
100%. All right. Well, before we roll this out, because we are at the top of the hour, and I know you're an important guy, you got a lot of things to get to. You talked about some of the features that you are trying to roll out or in the process of rolling out with Minds. Let's give the audience a little bit of a sneak peek. What are you working on? You kind of mentioned it with Lightning, but you did mention something else before we started rolling. So
yeah, we're getting live. We just launched a prototype for live streaming. We should live stream your show if you do. I don't know if you do.
I would love to.
We could do that.
Can we plug it into Restream? Like, how would we have to do this? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just, when you make a post, you just click the camera icon. You can grab the stream key.
All right. Sweet.
And just throw it in. So yeah, let's do that. So we're really excited about that because it's funny, man. Like every app is kind of becoming similar, which is bad, but also kind of shows something about the way humanity thinks about tech. Like, there's a dozen different social media apps that it's like, you have your feed, you have video, you have like creation, you have, you know, swiping. Like, it's just like coalescing on this sort of design standard. And, you know, then the competition is like, who has the best incentive system built into it? And, you know, what has the best content? So in live streaming, I think is like essential for getting really good content. And yeah, then we have the Activity Pub stuff happening, which is going to be really cool. I think the problem with the whole Fediverse world, I mean, there's sort of a huge divide in the Fediverse world. There's more like libertarian crowd and then like very like censorious crowd, which hopefully, you know, we can, you know, bridge in a sense, because it's just stupid arguing. But like a lot of the maintainers of like Mastodon are very anti-monetization, which is just like, okay, like why are, even though in the Activity Pub spec, there is actually this, there's this type, it's Activity Stream type, which is called an offer. And so I think that there's stuff that could be done in there with Bitcoin and with different monetization where it could, you know, because these different Activity Stream types are what people, different instances tap into for, you know, all of the different types of data that can be propagated. So, you know, I think it's interesting to think how that could happen. Nostr's been doing really cool stuff with Zaps and Lightning, and I think that that's really interesting. And so, yeah, I'm glad they got let back. Adamus got let back into the App Store. That was close.
Yeah, it was very close. So, what is Minds going to work on some kind of Zap feature in the near future?
I'm very down. If anyone out there wants to help, like, we would love your idea. If you go to gitlab.com/minds, that's where all of our dev is happening. So just feel free. If you're someone who, you know, is interested in helping bring Zaps to Minds, like, please get involved, set up an issue. And I, you know, we're there. That's where I hang out.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it. All right. Well, Bill, where can people find you? Are you behind the Minds account on Twitter, or just get on Minds?
Yeah, I pop in there. Yeah, you can do minds.com/Ottman, OTTMAN. That's where you can find me, or at Minds on Twitter. And yeah, man, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
No, man, thank you for coming on. It's a great conversation. And it's good to bounce these ideas off. And we always talk about it here on Simply Bitcoin about like clarifying our own thinking and kind of checking ourselves. And like, are we seeing the world clearly and not just partaking in our own echo chamber and trying to branch out and hit other areas outside of just Bitcoin and bringing people, like-minded individuals together to actually get these conversations going and also reflect on, is our thinking clearly? Are we actually seeing the world correctly? And I think everyone can see the problem, but few people can actually see the solutions right now. And so, you know, decentralized protocols, decentralized money, I think is the way moving forward. And the disintermediation of information right now is where we are. And few people understand how this is improving the world and changing everything we know to be true.
100%, man. Yeah. Thanks for putting out what you do. And excited to drive. Like we have this, we're like trying to give reach a way to create. That's essentially what happens at Minds. You can earn reach, and so you can earn views on your content. And I think that that's like a lot of what is frustrating for a lot of people. You know, you have kind of have like top tier of creators who get tons of reach, and it's like you kind of have this imbalanced system. And so we're really trying to make it easier for small, medium-sized creators, like, actually be heard. And so, you know, because algorithms are just so brutal, man. And it's like, you really do feel like a slave sometimes.
Yeah, with at the risk of getting kicked off of YouTube, we're like, man, YouTube really cracks the whip, man. They really know how to incentivize you to work harder on the platform. And we're slaves to the algorithms.
You know, as long as you have a place where you're not, then it's a, you know, I to play devil's advocate with myself, it's like, dude, YouTube's recommendations are amazing also. So yeah. Like they do know, but the issue is, what's the default setting? And do you have the ability to turn off the surveillance? It's not that algorithms are evil. It's like, they actually work. That's why they use them. So it's kind of just the way that you implement it.
Love it. Well, there is hope, man. And that's all we can really, really reach on right now. It's like, there's hope in the world. And also, there's builders out there that are building the freedom technology that will actually make our world a better place. So kudos to you, bro. And stick around behind the scenes while I roll this out. It'll take like 20 seconds.
Cool.
All right, guys. Well, what a conversation. You already know things get crazy over here on the TTOs, on the live podcast version, and really appreciate every single one of you guys. Of course, we will be back tomorrow at 12:15 p.m. for our live show. Going back to normal. Nico will be back. We will give you guys the sauce like we do every single day. On that note, guys, really appreciate you. Share, like, subscribe, all that good stuff, and we will be back with more Bitcoin Signal. All right, peace out, guys. Have a good night.